like Tim rightly said earlier, we're looking at small groups there and the importance of those things. But before I go and chat in a little bit about that, there's a little clip I'd like to show you first. Lovely. Great. Now, that's an advert of my car. No, it's not really. Now then, that is a very innovative advert by the Audi group, okay? And if you want to get the full force of that advert, go onto YouTube, watch it with your earphones on and put it on, not full volume straight away, but to gradually try it out. It's really good. It's a great advert. But what is so innovative about that is they've stripped away the cover of the car so you could see the engine. You could see the power of the engine. You could see where the core of the engine is at for the car. And all of a sudden, you've got this lovely looking car on the outside. But what makes it tick? What makes it go on the inside? And that car is like 125k, top of the range, 5.2 litre, V10 engine, 0-62 in 3.5 seconds, 542 British horsepower, top speed 197 miles per hour. Brilliant. So a very forceful car. Fantastic. But what I like about that is how it takes off the outer shell of the vehicle and lets you know what it's all about, the heartbeat of the car. And if ever you're the one who likes to fiddle around with gadgets and stuff like that, recently I had my iPhone out and had a little look inside, there's some problems in it, and you see all the gubbins inside, all the little details, all the little components which make that iPhone tick, the nitty-gritty of what's going on with that particular thing. And why I'm speaking about small groups this morning is if we could take out and take off the periphery of Cornerstone and took off the meetings and the special events and all this kind of stuff, and you could have a look at the core and the heartbeat and the power of what's going on within the life of the church, we would see that small groups plays a very important, powerful part of how we are as a community, how we are as a church, and that the roll-on effects of that is how we translate church and faith and life into our world around us. So God, of course, is the power within us. Is it? God gives us strength, God gives us love, forgiveness, and peace. And that is so important and critical. So when we look at how church works and how church is made up, small groups is so important, so precise for us to understand as people to belong to small groups, and that's what I'm going to look at just for a few moments this morning. So how do they work in Cornerstone, and why are they a blueprint value? Well, first of all, a small group, what is a small group? A group of 8 to 20 people, okay, that's a small group, something like that, meeting regularly, and is a core part of church life. If ever you've had to fiddle around with a TV aerial, a coaxial cable, and that little copper piece of material that runs through the centre, that material is such a great conductor. It conducts information, it conducts from one area into the television so that we can see. And small groups is like that. It's a bit of like the core value of the church. It's the core. It's a great way of transmitting information amongst us as friends and through what God is doing in and amongst the church. So it's more than just a Sunday. Small groups are small communities, and they're part of a blueprint value for four main reasons. So I've got 4 points this morning for us, all right, and we go through it and we see what God will sort of reveal to us in these little items. Okay, so number one, what is the first thing? Well, first of all, discipleship. Discipleship is a very important point that we want to have a look at. Now, Isaac, my middle son, he's 13, and Isaac loves to make things, to do things, to use his hands. He loves anything out of bounds, and one of his latest projects is making a workshop. Okay, he's making a workshop in the back end of the garage there, and Isaac's made like a little work surface. But what he's doing now is he's using tools, he's getting tools, and he's putting them into precise places within his workshop, so he knows where they are and they're at hand. And recently he's made a wood store, which is fantastic. It's great. But what I've noticed with Isaac is he's using the right tools for the job all the time, and they're there, and he uses the primary tool for that job is a hammer. There's nothing like watching a 13-year-old walking around your drive with a hammer. It's very encouraging. But yes, it's a primary tool to achieve doing the job at hand. And of course, small groups is a primary tool for achieving discipleship. There are secondary tools for achieving discipleship in life, but small groups, as part of Constant Cure, are the primary tool for achieving discipleship in our walk. What is discipleship? Well, it's the process by which we become more like Jesus and fulfill his mission, known as the Great Commission. And there we see it in Mark 16. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." So we see that Jesus has a mission. And for us, we get involved in that mission because we're commissioned to go and do that, to go and see people becoming Christians, explaining the good news about Jesus, how we can change our lives, how he can forgive us, how he can give us hope and peace and love in our lives. And that is part of the job, that is part of who we are as being a follower of Jesus. So what does a disciple do? I was listening to a radio interview, I think it was Friday morning, just before I was going into work, and it was Michael Flatley, the guy with the Irish dancing, Lord of the Flies, I was going to say this one, Lord of the Flies, Lord of the Dance. Okay, Lord of the Dance. He's been interviewed by Chris Evans, and this guy, Michael Flatley, is very well known for the shows that he puts on with all this Irish dancing. And Irish dancing is very difficult, apparently. I'm sure they said they can hit the floor at 35 different times in 1 second, these professionals. And Julian did agree to come out and demonstrate that right now. No, he didn't. What a worried look. Brilliant. Okay. But Michael Flatley's gone around the nations and the world doing this show, okay? And he explained, you know, he's a multimillionaire and all this kind of thing. And when Chris Evans asked him about, you know, who's been the greatest influence in life, who has instilled a work ethic within you? And he explained, Michael Flatley, that it was his dad. And his dad instilled within him the importance of working hard, of being committed, but just the general characteristics of life. And there was a great respect between him and what his dad has done for him. And his dad, apparently, is 97 and is still, you know, living and still speaking into Michael's life. And, you know, no matter what you think of the guy, I found the interview very, very interesting indeed. So what I want to explain is you can follow in the footsteps of great people. And, of course, Jesus is the person who we follow. He is the master. He is the master. And going back a few months ago, we'd gone up to Snowdon. And what I realised is it's different terrain. When you walk, you know, some there's flat bits, and there's grassy bits, and there's muddy bits, and there's steep bits, then there's rocks. And when it gets a really tricky time, we were like following each other's footsteps to make sure that our footing was solid and secure, and we know that that person has gone before us, and that way is a safe way. And like that for us, following Jesus, we know that in life, it is a safe way. It is a safe way of progressing, of following Jesus, and we can trust in the Master's footsteps. All right, so what did Jesus do? Well, he brought the good news of the kingdom and performed miraculous signs and healings. That's what our discipleship can look like and should look like, being more like Jesus. It's fantastic the guys there sharing and explaining about Julian Sayre's involvement in pioneering the conference there, but that it, you know, it rolls on more to that. It's who we're about as church. It's we have a heart to see Jesus touching the lives of broken people, of healing sickness and illness. And it's fantastic to hear that, guys. And recently I uncovered an old prophecy, which I think I forwarded to you, and this is going back probably about 14 years ago. And one bit that really stuck out to me is that God had said that you would be planted in the nation and that you would carry something like fires throughout the nation and the nations, bringing a message of Jesus. And like, for me, that is like, that is happening right now. You know, your involvement and your input and your investment. And sometimes, you know, really overstepping barriers where some people may struggle with faith, they may struggle with healing, may struggle with these different things. You've gone out and done really well, guys, in really taking the love of Jesus out there. So well done. That is important. And of course, that is part of all of us. All of us are called to carry the love and the healing touch of Jesus into lives and into situations where people are really struggling and need a hope, need some change in their life. Okay. And Jesus says this in John 14, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So we see here that discipleship is not just about personal development, it's about becoming fully like Jesus, a fully fledged disciple. So are you with me so far in that? Is it making sense? I'm just going to take a quick little sip of water, okay? There we go. Hopefully that wasn't too loud. Right. So, that's good. How does this happen in small groups? Okay, so we want to concentrate now on, you know, how does small groups work? You know, what happens in small groups? What are the things that we're looking at here? Well, all of us, I can tell you for a fact, have all very different backgrounds and all different personalities and all different walks of life and different opinions and all the rest of it. Small groups is a great way of mixing. It's a great way of getting to know one another. And it is fantastic that in these group settings, you can provoke one another in our faith and in our walk before God. And it is great. I've got a little picture there. I found that quite amusing, the Welsh and the Scottish rugby fans. But you see, you know, in, you know, just the difference in backgrounds joining together to enjoy an event here, a sporting event. But for us, it's joining together to enjoy a lot more than just a sporting event. It's becoming disciples of Jesus and enjoying our process and enjoying that journey together. So we can provoke one another. How can we do that? Well, in our words and in our attitudes and in our deeds. And what we find in small groups is everyone, we have different jobs and we have different life situations and we're in education and we're serving family relations, you know, day to day. And we find that in a small group, it's a great opportunity to pray for one another, to challenge one another, to encourage one another to good deeds. That is so important. And that is a little bit of what goes on in small groups. What else? Well, we can develop our spiritual walk as well. Because as Christians, each day we have the opportunity to grow and to mature in our Christianity, in our relationship with Jesus. And I've been very fortunate, again, is like, knowing June and say for so long, so many years, from the age of 18, is like, God hit me then and said, look, you invest your time with these guys, with church, you know, just give me your life and I will do things in your life. And it was just like, yeah, God, you know, do whatever you want to do with my life. And what I noticed about June and say is, I'm one of these, I like to look and watch people and see, I like to view people's life. You know, I can sit on a park bench and watch people walk past Verdi's, you know, all day long. I'm just interested in people watching and gazing and see how things pan out. And what I found with you guys is just like the different stages of life that you've gone through, very tough times, times of really digging into God, but like the way you go out and you pray. And I remember you used to go and do little weeks away with God and just, you know, get some, you know, real times of real direction and touching God, you know. And that is important, is in our Christianity and in our relationship with God, is are we getting closer to Jesus? I often ask myself that. Is my relationship with Jesus getting closer, or is it, you know, getting further away? And that is important to be in tune and in touch with that. And of course, that little word we had at the end of the worship there about God loves us and is for us. And sometimes there can be that heaviness upon our hearts. But, you know, every time, just Jesus is drawing us closer in whatever stage of life we're at, wherever we feel there may be in a drift or a standing back or just a coolness, that every time there's a Father's heart that draws us near, that loves us, that forgives us, and that is there all the time, 100% of the time. It's just us human beings who like to put sometimes those barriers in the way, and the you know, the woes of life can sometimes get on top of us, or things will happen, and then there's, you know, that difficulty, you know, are we really relating to God here? So small groups unpacks and helps us in our relationship with Jesus, because we can share one with another, we can talk, we can hear about how people's lives are getting on. That, you know, that walk is so important. So we become equipped for mission. We become equipped because we don't want to lose sight of the fact that we are here for a reason and a purpose, and that is to see people changed and transformed by the love of Jesus. And to do that, you know, we do need to be on our toes, don't we? Because we can't let life just become the day-to-day stuff which we get used to, and we forget about the mission that Jesus has given us. But in small groups is that continual reminder, yeah, you know, we're here, we're enjoying one another's company, we're growing in God, but there is a mission as well. And we can pray for one another, we can practice our stories on one another of how Jesus actually changed our lives, and how we can, you know, make that as a relevant sort of witness out there in the world. Okay, and also practically discussion time as well. Quite often on a Tuesday night, we'll discuss what we've spoken about on the Sunday morning or a particular sort of teaching seminar or series, and then we can unpack, you know, what are we gleaning from this? What's the knowledge? What's the wisdom I can apply to this in my life? You know, how has this affected me? What truths have I heard, which, you know, I haven't really got before, but now, oh yeah, I've got a bit of understanding on it. How does that affect my life? How does that affect my walk? So that's great. So those are the different things that we're gleaning from small groups. And of course, each of us have our own responsibility in life for our own spiritual growth as well. That is important. Like when we're baby Christians, we rely so much on other people for our growth and stimulation, and that is important. But at the end of the day, our spiritual growth does lie with us. It is us. It is us as a human being, as a single person who stands before God and says, look, this is what I've done in my life. This is what I've learned. This is how I've grown. And this is how I've spent my time and my life before you, Lord. So it's important that we glean that. And for us as church, you know, here, we provide those opportunities for growth. That's what we can do. That's our part. It's like a parent and a child. I can provide opportunities to the kids. I can teach them. I can do this, do that. But at the end of the day, they do have to stand on their own two feet and one day make their own breakfast or do their own laundry or, you know, do your homework. You know, that kind of thing. You teach. But at the end of the day, it's the person's responsibility for actually going and doing that. And that is very important. So we can glean from books and we can listen to downloads and CDs and podcasts and all the rest of it. But, you know, it's important that we're switched on to realising our own sort of responsibilities in that. Okay. So we here as Consul provide small groups as an opportunity to promote and to encourage us to develop in our discipleship. Okay, so the second point is community. And there is the verse from Acts 2. And I'll read this very quickly to us. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So we see a little snapshot and insight of how the early church were developing and how their community were developing as believers together. And as a church here, if we're growing as a group of people, growing as a church here in Cornerstone, is how do we hold on to those true values of community, those true values of a faith community? And that is something that we do need to give focus to, because church is more than just a meeting. It's more than just the building. It is more than turning up on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening. Small groups is there to provide the community base so that it's not just come down and fill, you know, a cushioned, padded seat on a Sunday. No, it's more than that. I used to be the old pew and not come to fill a pew. We don't have pews anymore, have we? No. I got one in my house, mine. I got two in my house. Right. But it's like, it's not about a meeting. It's about the community of people. So small groups is that community where we unpack what it means to be part of that. Just there we can act out love for one another, doing life together. Sometimes in our natural families, I'm sure we've all got different stories of how our own natural families sort of grew and lived life together. We've all got different things. I was one of three boys. Life was interesting. We had a great family upbringing. It was fantastic, and I'm very grateful. But it's like work, play, eat, rest, serve. You do things as a family, but then you go off and you do your own thing as well. It's just part of family life. But that is just like something to illustrate the fact that we want to do life together. And small groups is a way of doing that. So serving and loving action is very important. We get that kind of theme from Romans chapter 12. And that gives us an insight is into how and when a church grows, it divides down into small groups or discipleship communities. You have to do that. We have to look at our church life, not through the old, perhaps, style view of perhaps just like one leader who takes care of everyone else's pastoral leads. It can't happen. It's inefficient. It's not wise. But that's why small groups are so important. Now, those small groups of people can sort of like look after one another, spend time together, and to grow in their walk in God. So going back a few years ago, Sian here is a very entrepreneurial kind of person. And she goes out and she does different things, which always interests me. at varying levels. Now, going back a few years ago, the words I dread at times, I've just been thinking. Right, I know it's like, oh, okay, right, here we go. And right, what have you been thinking today, Sian? Now, I've been thinking that the community could really do with a local produce market. That would really, you know, get people involved in the community, and people could turn up, and local businesses can be blessed because, you know, it's people with homemade produce, people who stay at home and they make produce, you know, they can come along and we can provide this, that and the other. And Sian and her friend Shirley created Penllygair Produce Market a few years ago. And that was for, it wasn't like to make money, because some things in life are just there to make money. This was to bless the community. This was to bless small businesses. This was to have a community feel. This was to serve the community. And is very interested in the motives behind why we do things. And what I want to have a look at there and consider is this. Is, are we consumers or are we providers or are we a bit of both? Okay. Now, I like to consume things. I like food. I'm happy with that. It's good. Sian is a great producer. She produces lots of things, nice cakes and all sorts of food and everything else. But here, with this market, is like, you're being a little bit hospitable. You're providing an opportunity for people. You're giving something out. And in small groups, it's important that we don't become like consumers. We're just the eaters. It's important that we become the providers as well. Now, there's people in life, you know, we've got our different giftings and different abilities, and some of us find hospitality very easy, and some of us find it more of a struggle. But in the nitty-gritty of life and in the community walk, is let's have an intention of being a provider as well as a consumer. Have that heart to give out as well as to receive, okay? And that is very important, to get that balance right. And it is a privilege. It is a privilege to do that. Small groups as well is there to provide. And that community, that caring community, and especially in our small group, we've been having babies left, right, and centre, right? Not us, me and you, but the small group, all right? And that is fantastic to get alongside people. And that's been a theme throughout the years. And Julian and Sarah have done this example so many times of helping people with new babies and times of crisis or moving house or having exams and this kind of stuff. And that is so important to do that, because these are critical times of life, aren't they? It's the times where we're most vulnerable. It's the times where we're most in need. It's the times where we're most needing something from God. And when there's godly people supporting and caring and sharing at those times, it is so impacting to feel the love of God in a real way. More than just the love that he shows us in life in general, but when it's God's people, hands on there, helping and serving and equipping, that is such a fantastic thing. And on that note, I just wanted to show very quickly a time going back, just a few years ago now, where our very own John Richards had gone through a process and gone through an illness time. And as a church together, we sort of rallied around and got a calendar going for supporting John and the family for a month. And this is John's thank you to the church. If you wouldn't mind playing that, please, boys.
Cornerstone, let me first of all say a wonderful thank you for all the help that you've given to my family and myself during this experience that I'm experiencing at the moment. This has been a time where I've experienced difficulties. I've experienced infliction, and I've had to exercise tremendous patience. But I really want to say, first of all, a tremendous thank you for all the servant heart that you've had during this time of infliction. It's been so special. I wouldn't have wanted to go through the experience. But the experience has taught me many, many things. Experience has taught me that I have someone within the affliction within me, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's helping me through this. But the expression of that help is an expression of the servant heart of and the ethos of Cornerstone. And I really appreciate that. I'm looking forward to coming to thank you personally when I return. And thank you so much for all you've done for my family and for myself during this experience.
it. Now, John, as we know, and for anyone who's spoken to John, you know, when that finger is out, you listen. But, you know, John is the ultimate encourager, is he not? And whenever you hear John speak, or he'll speak words of encouragement, you feel as if you've been punched by God, isn't it? You know, not punched, but, you know, that kind of punch. But you're touched by something very powerful and important. And during these times, you know, we're very vulnerable to seeking the love of God. And, like, we're very used to seeing, you know, John being a strong, encouraging man, and seeing him in that sickness bed there for that particular season and time, it really hits home, doesn't it, of how fragile and how vulnerable we can be in life. But during that time, it was a time when, you know, there was some food made and a little bit of cleaning and going around and visiting John and Sheila there. And those are times that it really hits home, you know, about how privileged and blessed we are to have friends and family here who, you know, care for us and are interested in us and will spend that time to invest in our lives. So I'd like to thank John for allowing us to show that this morning as well, because, you know, it is a real deep impacted thing. So thank you, John. Okay. So, Cornerstone. Small groups take place usually on a Tuesday night in someone's house. And that is something that is a practical thing, is set up, it's there. We know when a Tuesday is happening, that's small groups time. And I would encourage us to make that a priority in our lives, in our calendars, in our diaries, that small groups is a priority because we belong to that community. If we can arrange our work and our shifts by some means, by being able to do that, then that is great as well. If you can do that, that's fantastic. But make it a priority. Make it a time where we stay in touch with one another. One thing I've noticed over the last 20-odd years of knowing Jesus is sometimes when we become a little bit, you know, switched off or a little bit vulnerable, or our circumstances get on top of us, there can be that standing back and standing away from meeting in our small groups or coming to other meetings as well. And it's a time, that is the time when we need to be there most. That is the time where we need to be sort of like rubbing shoulders with our friends next to us, is those vulnerable moments, okay? It's like facing, you know, God and facing the love of God and saying, yeah, God, you know, I need you at this time. So do stay in touch, do stay in community. It's more than a meeting, it's a community. So let's just belong, just like that early Acts church there. Okay, so the third point then, body ministry. What's that all about then? One of our core blueprint values is part of this, that during the small group time, that is a great opportunity to exercise gifts in the Holy Spirit. It's a great time of learning and expressing prophecy, tongues, healing, word of knowledge, ministry in the Spirit, this kind of stuff. So that helps us just to unpack a little bit before God, you know, how we can work and live in that way of being full of the Spirit, of being able to share something of the Spirit with others. And it's a great learning and training ground for us as individuals as well. And it's nothing to be worried about, nothing to be scared about. You know, we can learn so much about the Holy Spirit in the Bible, but there's nothing better than, you know, really being open and expressive in the small group setting. And that helps us, that gives us the tools that when we're out and about in our day-to-day life, that we have those tools available to hand to be able to express one to another. Okay. It's a great time to pray for one another, of course. There's moments and times where we really need prayer in our lives. We can get around one another alongside each other and encourage one another to continue to keep going and to be blessed as well. It's an opportunity to take communion together, because that is a critical part of church life. When we have small groups together, we often will take communion. But in our own individual small groups, that is, again, is a great time to be able to take communion with one another. And it's that real focus on the love of Jesus, remembering him and all. You know, it is the real heartbeat of what goes on in our relationships. Okay. It says this in 1 Thess, chapter 5. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So it's important then that we, that, you know, it's real, that we're actually living it out and doing that. And at this moment, I just want to say about, like with small groups, I know that maybe guys are visiting here today or have been visiting for a little while. Small groups are designed for like members of the church and things like that. And we from time to time, we do membership courses where we explain about the visions and values of Cornerstone, and we explain about, you know, what we're all about as a church and what we believe in and what we think, you know, is so important in life, in our pursuit of Jesus, and how things work here. So that is happening. If there's people here today who'd really like to be coming along to that members course, then please come and see Julian, Sarah, and myself, so we can line up a date in the diary to do that, and then, you know, we can fit you into a small group sooner rather than later, all right? So that's good. And finally, the last point for this morning, why else do we do small groups? Well, the social time, the friendship and the relationship, the relax, laugh, having a good time together, that is so important. We're a body. 1 Peter says that we're living stones and we're being built into a spiritual house. One of the key factors that we have in our small groups is to have a bit of fun, is to have a bit of a time where we're very real with one another and we can express, you know, what's the kind of stuff that we enjoy. The last small group that we had, we just got so many jokers in our small group. I don't know how they all ended up turning up into my small group, but they did. James Price is one. He's a terror. You've got to watch him. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That now is, we had a Christmas party, a fancy dress party. We have had for the last 3 or 4 years. It's just a thing we've got into for some reason. We had Flick and Sian were party animals and the other girls as well. And, you know, they insist every year that we have a Christmas meal and a party and we dress up. We've done a Downton Abbey one. We've had Christmas film characters. And this one here, as you can see, there's all the different characters there. Apart from James Price dressed as a Ninja Turtle. All right? So I don't know what that's all about. But anyway, it's important that we have a bit of fun and a bit of laughter along the way so that we're being very real with one another and with our expression of relationship and fun in the church. So social times in the church are very important, as well as all the nitty-gritty practical spiritual stuff. You'd be surprised by how spiritual it is when we are relating to one another in a social way. It is very important. Fellowship is very important. That is why fellowship with the Holy Spirit, fellowship with God, is the critical element of what makes us and helps us tick in life. So if that is so important to God, that's why it's so important for us to sort of mimic that and to do that in our life, is to relate to one another. It is so important to do that. Okay, so moving on to the very final point. Once a month, we bring all our small groups together. And the clue is in the name. I've had some of these, well, the majority of these know some Sarah, okay, who is an expert teacher. And I love this little bit here. The clue is in the name, small groups together. That is where it is a great time and an important time for us to be here on a Tuesday night to glean as much as we can about what's going on in the church. And it's important that we commit to one another in relationship. And we commit to one another in what's going on in the church. And these are the real key moments for turning up and being here and hearing about what is going on and being part of that, because it's all like relational and we carry this thing together. So I would encourage us, guys, is in our small groups together, very well attended, but to keep that up and, you know, to make sure that we can really get you each time. So that's good. It's a time where we get news and we share events, communion, strategy, worship, prayer, and all these different important elements of the day-to-day walk in Cornerstone. Okay, so just concluding then, and going over a couple of things that we've just done. First of all, small groups is a vital part of church life. It's the heartbeat, it's the core of what goes on relationally and what goes on in our growth in Jesus and in our growth in our discipleship. Small group is like church in miniature. We can't do this big thing all the time every day, but we can break down into small groups and be sort of like living out that church environment in miniature. And let it be a priority in our lives. Let it be something that we're committed to. We're committed to relationship. We're committed to small groups. We're committed to the bigger picture, what God is doing in our lives and in our hearts. Okay, guys, why don't we close our eyes and I'll pray in closing. Yes, Lord, thank you so much that you're a God who shows relationship to us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That you're a God who loves relationship, a God who loves people, who calls us by name. And we thank you for that this morning, Lord. And today we just share our heart, Lord, for small groups. for those relationships that we have within the church. Maybe there's new friends that we're making at the moment. Maybe we're at a stage where, yes, we want to go to the next step of belonging to Cornerstone and belonging to a small group environment. We just want to be open and vulnerable to you now, Holy Spirit, that you would speak into our hearts right now, that we would know your love, Lord. We would know your blessings in such a real way this morning, that we know that you love us, Lord, that you draw close to us every day, Lord, that you're loving our lives, Lord, loving our hearts. And we just want to pray this morning, Lord, that we can just be open to you, open to what you want to do in our hearts in this next phase of life for each of us as individuals. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.